reflect on some of the Christmas story with us today, or just leading up to the Christmas story as well. But I don't know how many of you have, over this time, people have said to you, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? I've lost my sermon, but it's okay. Well, I'll do it by memory today, hey? It's in here. That's the most important thing. Are you ready for Christmas? Yeah. Yes? And when people say, are you ready for Christmas? You know, they ask me that. I'm thinking, I'm asking, have I got my Christmas tree up? Have I got the Christmas cards gone out? The turkey's been done? And to be honest, Rachel does just about everything. So when it comes to it, she's a good wife, but she does everything. So it releases me to do other things as well. So I just need to make sure I get her Christmas present. But are you ready for Christmas? And I need to try and get it right as well. But are you ready for Christmas? Have you had that question asked you? Have you asked that question this year? It's one of the polite things that we do as British people. Are you ready for Christmas? But you know, I want to ask you that question, and that, you know, I believe that God was speaking this at the beginning of when it's this Christmas story we read about. He was wanting the people in the church and the nation, his people, to be ready, asking that question, are you ready for Christ to come into this world? And that's what I want to look at this morning, really. And there's a story in the Bible we read about Zechariah and Elizabeth. And God is just getting the people ready for Jesus to come into the world. And I want to try and illustrate this. I don't know how this is going to work, but determination. I wonder, Abigail, would you just come? And I've got a present here. I wonder if Abigail would just unwrap this present. Can you, quickly. Put acting abilities on there. Go on then, Abigail, fire away. Now, Rachel wrapped it up, so I wonder what's it going to be inside. Do we need some scissors? You're doing well. Anyone got ideas what it could be? An empty box, you think, maybe? Do you think Jesus might be in the box? Is it sweets? Very neat wrapper. You know, I started wrapping it up and I thought, this is no good. Oh, very good. We're nearly there. It's from Amazon Prime. What's inside, Abby? Oh, that's disappointing, isn't it? It's empty. You're right, Andy. It's an empty box. Now, can you imagine you open up your presents tomorrow morning and you're finding an empty box? You can go sit down now, thanks. Thank you, good girl. Don't trip me up. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and finding an empty box? You open up your present, how disappointed would you be? I know if I did that with Rachel, I might get a slap on the face, maybe. But you'd be disappointed. And I want to say this, I hope this brings me straight my point, but at the beginning, when we come to the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, in the time of the nation, there was an emptiness in the nation. As we come to the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, there was an emptiness within Elizabeth. She was barren. She couldn't have any children. They were desperate for children. They couldn't have any, getting old in years. But over the nation itself, for 400 years, God had been silent. Yeah, I find that, you know, that very difficult for the nation at the time. But they continued, nevertheless, to continue to pray and to seek after God in their lives. And to pray and seek God, despite the fact there was no dreams, there was no visions, there was no prophet speaking at the time. There was a silence for 400 years. But yet, they still continued their priestly duties. Now, Zechariah, in the Bible, he was an old man, he was a priest. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to just read a little bit from the passage here. Luke chapter 1. Zechariah was a priest. And at this time, they would come and offer their sacrifices. I'm going to read from verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commands and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened, while they were performing his priestly service before God in an appointed order of the division, according to the custom of the priestly office, it was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside the hour of incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared, standing at the right altar of incense. So just get a picture at this time, if you can just bear with me for a moment. So the silence in the land, okay. People were, the priests were regularly offering their priestly duties. And in this time, this appointed time, it says that Zechariah, him and his wife, they were righteous people. They did what was pleasing in the sight with God. They prayed to God. They desired to have a child, but they couldn't have a child. And they made their petitions regularly to God. And at this time, it says where the priests would come, and there would be about 20,000 plus priests would gather together. That's a lot of priests with their duties. And because there were so many priests, they were chosen by lot, each person, what their duty would be. And Zechariah, it fell on Zechariah to go into the holy place to offer the incense of the burnt incense of offering for the sacrifice on behalf of the people. Now this would have been the priest's dream. This would have been a divine opportunity for Zechariah. Once in a lifetime opportunity for him to go into the holy place and come and present the incense before God. You know, God at times in your life will give you those divine opportunities. But you know, we through Jesus Christ can come to God at any moment, at any time. We don't have to wait to be selected or chosen. God has already chosen through his son Jesus Christ and enabled us to come into the presence of God. Isn't that wonderful? Because of Jesus. But anyway, this lot fell on him, a divine opportunity. And this God was the woman saying, Zechariah, I'm choosing you today. And he was so excited, the privilege and responsibility to come and offer his sacrifice to God. And while he was there, it says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Wow. I mean, there'd been 400 years of silence. 400 years silence from God. God, no word, no dream, no vision, no prophet speaking a word into them. And then all of a sudden, this angel of the Lord speaks to Zechariah. And he says to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness and rejoice at his birth. In the midst of silence, God, after 400 years, breaks his silence. Hallelujah. 400 years, God begins to speak. You know those times in our life when we think, God, are you hearing me when I'm praying? And then at some point in your life, I tell you, keep pressing in because God wants to break his silence over our lives. You know, what are you praying for? What have you been seeking God over? We have a God who breaks through silence. The light began to shine and through breakthrough the clouds of darkness, and God began to shine right now to begin to speak over the nation. He had something important he wanted to say. And he says, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. Maybe some of us need to hear that this morning. God has said, I've heard your prayer. I've heard your prayer. I've heard your petition. Your wife, Elizabeth, will have a son. And you are to give him the name John. And he'll bring joy and gladness. And the Bible says, goes on to tell us that John was the one who would lead, that would prepare the way for people's hearts to receive Jesus Christ. In other words, God was saying, get ready, Christmas is coming. Get ready, Christ is about to come into the world. And I believe today, every day, we need to have our hearts ready for Christ to do something new. Have our hearts ready for Christ to break through into our lives. God doesn't want us to have an empty box, an empty life, and that we just fill it with all kinds of stuff over Christmas. But he wants us to have an empty vessel to fill it with Christ in our lives. Will you be ready and empty? And then goes on to say something interesting. He says, John will prepare the hearts of many. And I think this is really interesting what he says, because if you go back to Malachi 400 years earlier, the last words that the prophet speaks is the words of, there'll be one who comes in the spirit of Elijah and he'll turn the hearts of many back to the Father. It's almost like God has continued the conversation. When Rachel and I went to Boston about, it must have been quite maybe 8 years ago or so, maybe even longer than that, 10 years ago. And we went to see this American family. They were there. They were lovely, very hospitable. And there was the mum, the dad, and their three grown-up teenage children. And I never forget it, because the dad began to talk. They loved to talk and ask questions about England and how it was, and us Brits, and they'd never been to Britain before. And they started asking questions, but then they began to talk, and the dad began to tell us a story. And when he took a breath, the daughters jumped in and began to speak. And this went on for about 10 minutes or so. And then when they'd taken a breath, the father, the dad, began to speak and just continued his conversation as though he'd never left off. You know, it's just like there was no break in between. And I see this with God. God's speaking. And there'd been 400 years. There hadn't been a full stop. There'd just been a comma. God was just taking a breath and waiting for the right time to begin to speak into the life. And right now, God continues the word and speaks into their life. And he says, you'll have a son. And he's going to get people's hearts ready for Jesus to come. You know, it's so important that our hearts are ready to receive Jesus. It's not enough just to know about Jesus. It's not enough at Christmas time just to think about him and have him there, you know, on the mantelpiece or wherever we're with a nativity scene. It's not enough just to watch the nativity story on TV. It's not enough just to sing a few carols. We must have an open heart and prepare our hearts to receive him into our lives. Because only then will we really know what Christmas is all about. Will we know the joy that all these that we read about in the story experienced. And then he said something interesting. He said, how will I know? How can I know that what you say is true? How can I know for certain? Because I'm an old man. And my wife, she's getting on a bit as well. And it's very difficult for us to have children right now. It's going to be pretty much impossible. How can I know for certain? I mean, God had just appointed him to come in. And then an angel had spoken to him and told him things that what he'd been praying about before him saying anything. And God has spoken, and now he's beginning to question God. And the angel says, you'll know because you're going to be silent until these things come to pass. You know, and I was reading this, and I'm thinking, this is what needs to happen. You know, God does not respond to doubt. He responds to faith. By faith we move mountains. We walk by faith, not by sight. It is by faith that God responds to. We are considered approachable to God through our faith in him. Acceptable to God through our faith. And it is by faith. Maybe God needs to silence the doubt in our lives. When we speak doubt in situations, we say, oh God, can you really do this? Are you really going to cause these things to happen? When we speak doubt over God's word and we say, God, did you really say that in your word? You know, we need God to silence doubt in our lives. I need God to silence doubt in my life. And he was silent. He couldn't speak. Imagine seeing all this happen. The angel speaking to him. And he having this word and being told that he's going to have a child. And he came out and he couldn't tell anybody. Every time he opened his mouth, nothing came out. God is a mighty God. And he responds to faith. Are you a doubt speaker or are you a faith speaker? God, silence our doubt. God is pleased by our faith, not our doubt. Come to the end right now. Ooh, you're all thinking, well, you come to the end already? But I just want to, this is one of my most favorite parts of this story. In verse 57, as he comes out of the temple, he goes and he begins to try and explain. He can't explain it because he's dumb. And in verse 57, it says this, now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth. I love those just few words, now the time had come. The promise was spoken, but then the time had come. For Elizabeth to give birth. The promise was spoken. It had been declared, but then it come to pass. You know, when we have the promises and we have the prayers and we have the words and the prophetic words spoken and declared, and then God speaks into our life, and it'd be wonderful. We can thank God for those words. But when it comes to pass in our life, it goes on to say, her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord displayed his great mercy towards her, and they were rejoicing with her. When things come to pass in our life, what God has said, there is great rejoicing in our hearts. You know, it came to pass. God's promises always come to pass. And we can count on the word of the Lord every single time. You know, it came to pass. John was born, and it came to pass. God spoke, it happened. Jesus' birth, it came to pass. And a Savior came into the world to save us. They said he'd be born of a virgin. And on that day, it came to pass. And he was born. Hallelujah. It was said that he would heal the sick, he would raise the dead, he would cause the blind to see, he would speak things uttered that people would be astounded. And he did, and it came to pass. It was prophesied that he would die on the cross for the sins of the world. And it came to pass. It was prophesied and declared, Jesus himself declared he would be raised in 3 days later. 3 days later after he died. It came to pass. Then he said, wait in Jerusalem until you received that power from on high. On the day of Pentecost, it came to pass. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon all flesh. It came to pass. Guess what? The Holy Spirit's here. That really excites me. The presence of God. Jesus is not on one person in Nazareth or in Galilee or one place. He is here with us by his Holy Spirit. He's right with us. It came to pass. The Holy Spirit is here today. Hallelujah. He's here. Therefore, the promise is available to us. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. It came to pass. And the Holy Spirit's not gone back to heaven. He's still here. The Spirit of Christ, the joy of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, the truth of Christ, the revelation of Christ, the Word of God. He's here. And it came to pass. And it's to pass. And we're passing by us. But don't pass me by, as we've been praying recently. You know, God's promises come to pass. His word will always come to pass. He cannot deny himself. He cannot lie. He is always faithful. And because he said it come to pass, guess what? His judgments will come to pass too. His coming again will come to pass too. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It will come to pass. Whether you choose to bow the knee or not, it will bow. It will bow. It will come to pass. The time had come. When the time comes, right now we're here on earth. I pray and I trust that every single one of us has accepted Jesus into our life. It came to pass for us. Don't let it be just a head knowledge, please. Let it be a heart revelation to truth. Maybe we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not, then begin to seek after the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let God fill you with his presence to overflowing. But one day, you and I will be in glory with Christ, and we will say, it's come to pass. And we'll be rejoicing with the angels, be rejoicing with our loved ones, we'll be rejoicing with Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. It came to pass. It came to pass. I tell you, God is a wonderful God. And he says here, and it's this, as we get ready for Christmas, and people say to you and ask you that question, are you ready for Christmas? Don't just think, is the tree up? Have the cards out? Is the turkey there? The food in place? But is your heart ready? It says of John, his name means gracious. God is gracious. No, it's the grace of God that Jesus Christ came into the world to save us. I wonder if Jim would come and we get ready to come around the table. John was a prophet, and he was called out to prepare the hearts of many to receive Christ. He called people to repentance, to get right with God. I don't believe that there is any other way to come through Christ but through faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. I don't believe you can come to him just by believing in Jesus. To believe in him is to put your full trust in him and to believe what he says. He preached the kingdom of God is near, and he preached the message of repentance. That means there has to be a change of heart and mind. There needs to be a change of decision in our lives. It doesn't mean that we can just continue to live our lives the way that we want to live. There must be a change. And that's why John came, to preach this message of repentance, to get people's hearts ready to receive Christ. You cannot receive Christ until you first repent. That's what I believe the Bible teaches us. You can meet Christ, you can experience Christ, you can experience his healing, you can experience all the wonderful things he's done, you can experience maybe encounters with God to some degree, but to experience him, receive him into your life, there must come repentance and getting right with God. And when we come to this table, it's a reminder to examine our hearts before him. As we get ready for Christmas, can I use this time, can we use this time around the table together as the family of God to ready our hearts for Jesus? I know tomorrow we've got a Christmas Day service. No, we have that because it's just an opportunity just to remember Jesus and to bring Jesus into Christmas Day. It's an opportunity to do that. But you know what God really wants? Not just to attend these services, but he wants our hearts to be right with him. So one of those who are serving would come. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you broke the silence, that you broke through. Thank you, Lord, in the midst of barrenness and emptiness, and Lord, that there may be people here today, Father, they're just feeling empty, they're feeling lonely, they feel like you've been silent, Lord, in certain areas of their life. But Lord, I thank you that your timing is perfect. Your timing is perfect. As they say, you're never early, you're never late, you're always on time. Lord, help us to put our faith in you and not doubt. So Lord, I thank you for sending Jesus into this world. Well, may we be ready. Lord, I pray, Lord, if any of us are feeling like that empty box, Lord, I pray, God, that you would begin to make room for you in our lives. Lord, there wouldn't be disappointment, but Lord, there'd be joy. The joy of Jesus. So as we gather together around this time, and maybe you just want to pray. Maybe you want to pray quietly before God. Maybe you want to just offer a prayer of thanks to God. But in all that we do, can I encourage us this morning? Can I urge you? Get your heart right. Say, God, if there's anything I'm impure within me, if there's anything that's just not pleasing in your sight, Lord, I want to turn to you. I want to hand it over to you right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.